Okay, today's daf is Menachos Daf Lamed Hey. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Lamed Dalet Amid Beis Tanur Rabbanon, five lines from the bottom of the page. Today's shir is sponsored once again anonymously. This Chusuk Mar Chasim Atova for the Mispaladim of BKNW and for all of Klal Yisrael, and by Henry Orlinsky, the Zecher Nishmas Yichiel Michel Ben Chaim Schner Zalman Halevi Zecher Levracha Milton Kramer, his Neshama Shav and Aliyah, and we thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're right in the middle of the sugyas of tefillin, and we're going to continue the entire daf today, and the entire daf tomorrow is all going to be about tefillin. So first thing we're going to discuss is the order of the parshios in the tefillin, and what happens if you reverse some of the parshios. We're then going to give a list throughout the daf of six different halachos l'moshe misinai that we have as far as it relates to tefillin, an unusual number of halachos l'moshe misinai, specifically when it comes to tefillin. We're also going to talk about the color of the ritzuos. Which part must be black and which part can be other colors, and what color is an absolute disqualification as far as the ritzuos are concerned. And we're going to talk about the shape of the batim of the tefillin, how squared they have to be, and what happens if you have batim that are rounded, or what happens if batim are damaged and have holes in them, when it would be possible. Also, what happens if you have ritzuos that are damaged? What happens if ritzuos get snapped or cut? Is there a way to fix them? Then we're also going to talk about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the kesher of his tefillin, and exactly where tefillin are supposed to be placed on the head, and how the ritzuos of the tefillin shel Rosh are supposed to form certain letters, or the letter Dalet in the back, and exactly where that is supposed to be. And at the very end of the daf, probably going into tomorrow's daf, we'll talk about the bracha on tefillin. So a lot to do. So we are holding about five lines from the end of the page on daf Lamed Dalet and Beis Tanur. What is the seder of the parshios of tefillin? Kaddish li vayik v'yacha miyamin, kaddish li and vayik v'yacha from the right side, shema vayim shema mismol, and shema and vayim shema on the left side. Says Gemara, aye, but vatanya ipcha. But we had a brisa that said the opposite, that shema and vayim shema are on the right side, and kaddish and vayik v'yacha are on the left side. Am Rabbi Lokasha, kad miyamino shel korei, kad miyamino shel meniach v'korei, korei kesidron. One is talking about the yamin of the person who's wearing the tefillin, and the other is the yamin of the person facing the person who's wearing the tefillin. So obviously it's going to be flipped around. What's considered the yamin and what's considered the small? Now the way the Gemara expresses this is unusual. You would imagine if there are four parshios, you'll just list them in order. What do you mean, yamin, mi small? Well, why not just say what the order is directly, and then you don't have to go figuring out whether I'm starting to count mi yamin and I'm starting. So, but that leads to machlokas rishonim, very major and fundamental machlokas rishonim. Shitas Rashi is that it goes kaddishli v'haya kiviyacha shema Yisrael v'haya im shemoa, in that order. If you were counting 1 through 4, those are the parshios of the tefillin. Shitas Rabbeinu Tam is yes, you start with kaddishli and v'haya kiviyacha, let's say miyamin of the person looking at the guy wearing tefillin, and then but it continues with v'haya im shemoa and then shema Yisrael. You flip the last two parshios. That is shitas Rabbeinu Tam. So it happens to be that Rabbeinu Tam also held that the way the parshios are inserted into the tefillin is mushkavos and not standing, that they should be inserted into the tefillin differently than the way Rashi holds are inserted into the tefillin. But that's a separate machlokas. So even those who are machmir for shittas Rabbeinu Tam and the seder are parshios, no one's machmir for shittas Rabbeinu Tam also in terms of how it's inserted into the tefillin. That was Rav Moshe Feinstein's response to the Lubavitcher Rebbe when the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote to Rav Moshe, and he said, you know, it's pasnish that someone of your stature doesn't wear tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam. You should really put on tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam. So Rav Moshe's response was, look, we can't be machmir for every shittin rishonim, and if we didn't, he went through the cheshbonos, I'd have to wear 96 pairs of tefillin, because he went through all the different shittos in rishonim that you would have to be machmir for, that no one's machmir for. The only thing people are machmir for is shittos Rabbeinu Tam in terms of seder parshios. And then Rav Moshe told him, and besides for that, I can't find anyone who's going to write tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam with the way I would want it to be written, with Ksav Beis Yosef and Ksav Ari or whatever. So the Baba Shabbos said, don't worry, I'll find someone to write. He thought very strongly that Rav Moshe should wear, because Babish Chassidim obviously are all, and many Chassidim are makbid to wear tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam. Now it's interesting, Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Simon Lamed Tes, that anyone who's not mamim b'mitzvahs tefillin is possible to write tefillin. A person might be a very skilled sofer, he might be able to form beautiful letters, but if he doesn't observe the mitzvah of tefillin, he's possible to write tefillin. And we darshan uksharta muksafta. Anyone who's enu bikshira, meaning is enu mamin bikshira, he's also enu biksiva. So in the Yismach Moshe and Agados Hashas, he writes that we should be careful that someone who wants to put on tefillin, someone who does not himself put on tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam, should not write tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam. Because according to Shita Rabbeinu Tam, this person is never mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin, because he's only wearing tefillin to Rashi, and they're pasul according to Rabbeinu Tam. So if someone is not mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin, he cannot write the tefillin. That's what the Yismach Moshe writes. However, most of the Acharonim say, come on, that's a far cry from Eino Mamin, the mitzvah tefillin, to follow a different shita in halacha in terms of how to paskin. That's not the same as not being mamin the mitzvah tefillin. Anyway, so that's one issue with relation to tefillin. Rabbeinu Tam, there's also machlokas if when you put on tefillin the first time in your life, a person is supposed to recite a shachianu or not. The Taz, the Shach, they all discuss whether you recite a shachianu when you put on tefillin the first time in your life. They say, according to my sefer, that in Chelik Aleph Hafakon Alama, that Rosh Hashanah Zalman, when he gave his kids their tefillin, even though they put it on for some time before the bar mitzvah, it was only borrowed before the bar mitzvah. He gave it to them as a matana only on the day of their bar mitzvah, and therefore they were able to recite a shechianu because it's a very expensive matana. So one way or the other, even if you don't recite a shechianu on the first time you're doing a mitzvah, but at least it's a very expensive matana for which you would recite a shechianu, and that's what he was machmit to do, so that they could recite a shechianu on their tefillin. Most people don't think of it, right? But that's the discussion in poskim whether you should recite a shechianu. So in the Tshuvas HaRadvaz, he writes that you should say shechianu even on tefillin Rabbeinu Tam, because it's lo gara mekelim chadashim, a very similar svara to Rav Shlomo Zalman. Even if you hold that really we pass like Rashi, and therefore tefillin Rabbeinu Tam is possible tefillin, so you're not became a mitzvah, so it's not a shechianu midin doing a mitzvah for the first time, but it's still something that's very expensive, and it's something that gives a person a great sense of excitement, and the bracha is on the excitement. It's not the mitzvah per se, but it's the excitement in doing the mitzvah. In the Hakdama Techelet Beis of my sefer, I discuss that issue of whether you say a shechianu when you do a mitzvah for the first time. When my niece got married, she asked me at her Shabbos Sheva Brachos, she asked me if she should recite a shechianu on lighting Shabbos candles for the first time. You know, anytime you're doing a new mitzvah that you haven't done before, is there such an inyan of shechianu? I told her father's a rabbi, she should ask him. So that's a major question. I get the question very often, people who buy tcheles, so they want to know, should they recite a shechianu the first time that they do the mitzvah of tcheles? Certainly if you hold that it's really a kiyum of mitzvah d'oraisa because we found the real tcheles, so then maybe that would qualify as a shechianu. Generally speaking, the default position is that we do not recite a shechianu the first time we do a mitzvah, unless it's something that we have a specific mesorah that we do recite a shechianu for. But it happens to be tefillin is such an expensive item, so when you buy an expensive item, when you put on tcheles for the first time, it's very often on a brand new talis, and on a brand new talis, very likely you have to. That's not just very likely; it's beferish and shulchan aruch on a brand new talis. You recite a shechianu. It's true. A lot of people don't recite a shechianu when they buy a new suit because poskim say we buy suits so frequently, but for some reason people don't buy talisim that frequently, even though they buy suits very frequently, so probably for Kulei Alma, you'd still recite a Shechianu on a brand new talis. Okay, anyway, so this is the order of the tefillin. Tefillin Rabbeinu Tam, tefillin the Rashi, a slight difference, but a major difference in terms of whether you're Yotzei. So that's the order of the parshia. Says Gemara, two lines from the bottom now. Amar Rav Chanan al Amarav, Hichlif parshios, Epsulos. If you switch around the parshios, they're possible. Amar Bailo, Amaran, El Gviasa Libriasa, Ubriasa Ligviasa. That's only if you switch one of the outer parshios for one of the inner ones for one of the outer ones, al gviasa l'gviasa. But if you flip around the two inner parshios, meaning numbers 2 and 3, not numbers 1 and 4, or ubriyasa l'vriyasa, you switch around numbers 1 for number 4. So you haven't switched 1 for 2 or 3 for 4. You switched 1 and 4, or you switched 2 and 3. So that which is on the outer surface of the tefillin is still there on the outer surface of the tefillin, just on the wrong side. That which is on the inner part of the tefillin is still there, just on the wrong side. Less than, but that's no problem. You're still yotzei. Amalei Rava, Maishna gviyasa l'vriyasa, briyasa l'gviyasa delo. Why is it no good if you flip one of the inner ones for one of the outer ones? Dachtamay l'machzi avir lo kachazia, because the one that's supposed to be on the outer surface surface of the tefillin that's supposed to face the avir, the outside air, is not. And the one that's not supposed to be facing the surface, the outer surface, is. So well, it should be the same soul. If you flip around the two outer ones, the one that's supposed to be on the right side is on the left side. The one that's supposed to be on the left side is on the right side. That should be the same soul. Eloloshna. So Rav says, I disagree. I think in any which way that you flip it around, it's going to be possible. V'amarav chananel amarav. Titura de tefillin halachal Moshe Mitzinai. So here's the halachal Moshe Mitzinai. The titura of tefillin is halachal Moshe Mitzinai. What's the titura? So even though our tefillin, we always see them closed, when you want to take out the partials, it cracks open like a, you know, like a mouth, right? So the titura is the bottom piece that closes the tefillin. So the titura, having a titura, is halachal Moshe Mitzinai. Amar Abayi, ma'abarta de tefillin halachal Moshe Mitzinai. The ma'abarta is the part of the tefillin where the ritzua goes through. So it's part of the bias where the ritzua goes through. That's also halachal Moshe Mitzinai. V'amar Abayi, shin shel tefillin halachal Moshe Mitzinai. The shin on the shel rosh is also halachal Moshe Mitzinai. V'tzaruch shi'agia charitz l'makom ha'tfar. And we just happened to mention the charitzim between the batim, the lines between the batim on the shel rosh have to go all the way down to the titura, all the way down to the base of the tefillin. Rav Dimon Adar Amar Kivin de Minkar lo tzarich. He says, no, as long as you have charitzim that are nicker, that you could see where the different batim are, you don't need it to go all the way down to the titura. V'amar Abayi, hay kilpa de tefillin tzarich lemivdike de dilma ispe reyos abinu ksivatam avalecha. On the cloth that you're going to write the parashios of the tefillin, you have to examine the cloth very carefully to make sure there are no holes in it, because otherwise it's not going to be ksivatama. The hole is going to be mafsik in the middle of the ink of the word, and that's not going to be ksivatama. Rav Dimon Adar Amar lo tzarich kumus abadikla. You don't have to examine it so carefully. Write and see what happens, because when you're writing with the quill, you'll be able, if there's a hole, you'll go over that hole and you'll feel it, and then you'll know that it's a problem. So you don't have to look so carefully in advance. Amar Rav Yitzchak, ritzuos shchoros halachal Moshe Mitzinai. Having black ritzuos is halachal Moshe Mitzinai. Meisve tefillin ein kosher nosan ela b'minan bein yerokos bein shchoros bein levonos. But doesn't the Brisa say that tefillin, yes, it has to be b'minan, you need to use pieces of leather to tie the tefillin, but they could be green and they can be black and they can be white. Adumos lo yasim le'gnai davarach. They just can't be red. Your ritzuos can't be red for two reasons, because of gnai and because of davaracher. What does that mean? Says Rashi, adumos lo yasim le'gnai shem yomur gardan hu midam chatat b'nitzbu v'edim ritzuos. People will think that you're bleeding and it's your blood that made the ritzuos red. So that's a gnai to the tefillin. V'davaracher shem yomur ishtonida ba'al v'nitzbu b'dam. That people are going to think that a man was boel, his wife, when she was a nida, and it's the dam nida that got on the tefillin. An unusual chashash, that he was wearing his tefillin while he was boel, his wife, while she was a nida, and they got, so hard to imagine, but that's the concern, says Rashi. Davar Acher, because Rashi comes up with like the most disgusting thing imaginable, because Davar Acher always means unmentionable, right? That which you can't even say. So what would be so terrible that you can't even say? Well, that taka would be so terrible that you can't even say. Amar Vida Maisa B'Talmid Shabbat Kiva Sheikosha Tefillin B'Lashon HaShal Tcheles. Talmid Rabbi Kiva would tie tefillin with tcheles, with wool, blue wool. V'lo Amar Lo Davar, and he didn't object to that, meaning instead of black leather straps, they used Lashon HaShal Tcheles. So Efshar also Tzadik Ra Talmid of Lo Michabo. Could it be that he saw his Talmidim doing such a thing and he didn't make a macha? So Amar Lo Hein Lo Ro. So now he must have not seen it. V'imro So Lo Hei Menicha. There's no way he would have let that fly. Maisa B'Horkinus Menoshal Reb Lezvin Horkinus, and a similar Maisa with Horkinus, the son of Reb Lezvin Horkinus, obviously named after his grandfather, Sheyakosher Tefillin B'Lashon HaShal Argaman, who tied his tefillin with Lashon HaShal Argaman with purple wool. V'lo Amar Lo Davar. And Reb Lezvin Horkinus didn't say anything to him. Efshar Oso Tzadik Rab B'no V'lo Michabo. He saw his son doing something like that with tefillin. He didn't object. Amar Lo Hein Lo Ra'oso. V'imro Oso Lo Hayamanicho. He didn't see. And if he would have seen, he wouldn't have let him do that. Katani Mia. But the bottom line is, from all this price, is that we see Bein Yerokos, Bein Shchoros, Bein Levanos. How can you tell me that having black ritzuos is halachal Moshe Mitzinai? It says whether it be green or white or black, whatever, it's all fine. It says Malokasha, kami bifnin, kami bechutz. The inside of the ritzuos can be whatever, just not red. The outside of the ritzuos have to be black. That's halachal Moshe Mitzinai. It says Mar imi b'fim, my gnai davarach harika. Well, wait a second. If it's the inside of the ritzuos that we're talking about these other colors, why would it be so terrible if it's red? No one will see it anyway. Zimnin demishapkanei. Well, sometimes it might get flipped around, and a person would still be able to see it. It is interesting. Nowhere does the Gemara say that the batim have to be black. It only says that the ritzuos have to be black. It's halacha l'moshe misirai. The batim it doesn't say in the Gemara. So Tosfos over here in Lamed Hayamad Aleph tells us that even white batim are perfectly fine. L'charchila. You're allowed to have white batim in your tefillin. So a good shtick, according to Tosfos, you could leave your batim white. You don't have to paint them black at all. However, the Rambam and the Rush hold Hidur mitzvah, to make the batim black, the tefillin should look uniform, and since the ritzuos have to be black, the batim should be black, but only within hidur mitzvah, right? Probably intuitively, if you would ask the average bar mitzvah boy, what's more important, that your ritzuos are black or that your batim are black? Right? You would imagine most people would think the batim are the ikar, right? That's really got to be black. No, the Gemara only says ritzuos. It's only sheet of Tosfos and Masech Shabbos, Tavchav Chesam Beis, that holds that Ashkar's batim is also part of the halacha l'moshe misinei. But Rav Rishonim don't assume that way. Nafkamina would be, yeah, of course we're going to be mashka the batim. We're not going to do such a shtick. So of course we're going to make our batim black. But nafkamina would be, do you have to be mashka lishma? According to the Rambam and the Rashi, it's only a din zekeli van veyu. You don't have to do lishma. It's not part of the yikra halacha of tefillin. It's just a hidur mitzvah. But if you hold like Tosfos Masech Shabbos that hashcharis habatim is part of the yikra mitzvah, then in a chinami, it's going to have to be lishma. Shulchan Aruch pasken simlam gimel sufdal tov sheyashchirim Yisrael lishman velo eni Yehudi, that it's good to be mashkir them lishma. And the Rama writes b'diavad it's kasher if a guy is mashkir the or habatim. Why is it kasher b'diavad? Because meyikra, it's not part of the yikra. We don't pass like that on Shabbos. It's Zekeli van Veyu, or it's a whatever. But it's not. It's a, so, but by Ritzuos, the Rama says if a guy is mashka the Ritzuos, it's possible to dievet because that's part of the Yikr Din of Tefillin. Someone just sent me an email yesterday asking, what about Ritzuos that are black on the inside and the outside? Right? Is that something that's kedai to be machmir for? So the majority of poskim, I talk about this in Hakona Lamachelik Aleph Simon Vav. The majority of poskim are not so concerned about that. They don't think that you should have to, that you should be makbid about such a thing. It was never the tradition. It's clear in the Gemara it wasn't the tradition. What, they couldn't come up with the technology to make it black on both sides? Of course, they could have dyed the ritzuos on both sides, but still, it talks about what if it gets flipped. And so obviously, they didn't have it black on both sides. So if that wasn't the tradition, then it seems that there's, some of the poskim try to come up with what the problem might be. You know, Sturmbach writes that maybe it's the ink on the other side is going to be chatzitza, and that might be a problem. Probably not, because it's not really ink external to the other side. It saturates through the, it's just coloring the actual ritzuos. So it's hard to say that it's a problem, but no reason to be makbid about that and to change our tradition. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter now. Tana, tefillin meruvaos halacha l'moshe misinai. Having tefillin squared is a halacha l'moshe misinai, meaning that they should be squared off. Amar of Papa b'tafran uba alachsonan, that the stitching should be perfectly square, and ba'alachsonan, meaning square, doesn't just mean right angles, it means that it has to be a square, not a rectangle. So that's what ba'alachsonan means, that it should fit the a squared plus b squared equals c squared, you know, if the diagonal, it should fit that ratio, or the way the Gemara says, 1.4 on the diagonal for every one on the side, on one of the sides, meaning it should be a square, not a rectangle. That's what it means, ba'alachsonan. Oh, we have a right to this, because it says in the Brisa that if you make round tefillin, it's dangerous and it's not a mitzvah. Why is it dangerous? Says Rashi, Shikshikonis bePesach, the Yakar Rosho be Iskofa, Shalo Yichnasu Tefillin Barosho. If you ever bang your head, so the tefillin are gonna slam right into your skull, and that could be very, very dangerous. Amar Papa Masnisin Da Avida Kiam Guza. Not necessarily a raya from that Brisa. So the Brisa might be talking about where its mama is shaped like a nut, where it's very sharp and can cut through your head. But it does, you don't necessarily see from there that it has to be perfectly square. Amar Funa Tefillin calls man Shep. Pnei tavla kayemes ksheros, that so long as the or of the batim is still intact, it's going to be kosher. Chistamer nivsku shtayim ksheros shalosh psulos. If two of the batim have a hole in it, it could still be kosher. If three of the batim have a hole in it, then it's going to be possible. Amar of a hadamer shtayim ksheros amar elazesh lo kenegazet. Even when we say two of the batim have a hole in it, it's going to be kosher. It's only if it's not two batim that are one right next to the other. Avol zek kenegazet psulos. If two batim one right next to the other have a hole in it, that's going to be possible. And even when it's two right next to each other, that it's possible. That's only if they're new, because that shows that there's something wrong with the leather. But if it's old, then it's not as much of a problem. What defines old and what defines new as far as this is concerned? If when you pull it and then it rolls back to what it, to its former shape, that's old. It's been in that shape for a long time. But if it doesn't go back to its former shape, that's considered new because obviously it hasn't taken on that form in the long term. So Rashi explains, what it means is if you grab the ritzua, will the tefillin come along with the ritzua? If the tefillin come along with the ritzua, so then it's brand new. But if the ritzuas are so worn that when you pull the ritzua, it'll just snap apart from the rest of the tefillin, that's old. Yeah, that's taka, very old. If it would do that, our ritzuas, we replace them way before it gets to that. Abaye Avi Yosef, Kamedra Avi Yosef, Ifsikle Ritzua de Tefillin. Abaye was sitting in front of Rav Yosef, and his ritzua snapped. Amalei Malu Miktari. So he asked Hashayla, am I allowed to tie my ritzuas? They snapped. Amalei Ksharten Ksiv Shetei Kshira Tama. It says that you need a Kshira Tama. What does that mean, Kshira Tama, in this context? Says Rashi, Shetei Kshira Noe. Vim Yesh Kesher Acher Beritzua Levad Me Kesher Shekoshim Barosh Sulav Yikshira Yafa. The nicest knot on the tefillin is to have only one knot, to have the knot that ties it onto your head. Any other kshira along the length of the ritzuos is not considered kshira tam. It's not considered to be beautiful. Loshun acher, says Rashi, kshira tam ritzua shleima v'lo kshura. A complete ritzua that should be smooth and it shouldn't be tied. If it's tied somewhere in the middle, it looks schlocky. It shouldn't be, your tefillin shouldn't look like that. Amalei Ravach, Rav Reid, Rav Yosef, Ravashi, mal lemitfrei v'ayli l'tfir l'gav. What about sewing the tefillin and keeping the stitching on the inside so no one will be able to see the stitching, and on the outside it looks smooth? Amar Pochazi Mayam Advar. He said, yeah, that could be mutter. That depends on minug. Go see what the minug is. So what does that mean? So says Rashi, Kivin Dei Nogim Kein Lotasa. He's saying that, not go see what the minug is for real. He's saying, you should realize the minig is no one does that. So if no one does that, then don't do it. By tefillin and by most things in Judaism, we try to follow our mesorah. We try to follow what people do and what we've always done. And no one's ever done that. They don't come up with clever etzas how to stitch together the tefillin. You get new ritzuos. Amar of Papa Gardume ritzuos ksheros. If you have ritzuos that got cut, so the little pieces that are left once the excess got cut, the little pieces that are left are kosher. V'lav milsihi. But the truth. Truth is that's not correct. How do I know it's not correct? Mida Amri Bnei Rabbi Chia Gardume Tcheles veGardume Ezov Ksherin. That the Bnei Rabbi Chia taught us that if your tzitzis get cut, the little pieces that are left, the shorter strings that are left after your tzitzis get cut, are kosher. If the Agudas Ezov that you use for the sprinkling of the Para Aduma waters, if that gets cut to a point that it's shorter than the proper shear, that's going to be kosher. But they dafka say that's kosher. Hasel with the Tashmishe Mitzvah Ninu, because those items are tashmisha mitzvah. Aval hachad is tashmisha kedusha ninu lo. But the rituals of tefillin are tashmisha kedusha. They're not tashmisha mitzvah. That's not going to be kosher if it's cut. It's tashmisha kedusha. It's totally different. Why would tashmisha kedusha be different than tashmisha mitzvah? So some of the rishonim explain that when it comes to tashmisha mitzvah, there's no etzem shir. It's just, it's all about zakei levan ve'yu. It's all about a hidur. So once you had the hidur once, even though now it got cut, so you tried your best, you had the hidur, and now the hidur is not there anymore, but it's still going to be kosher. Meaning hidur mitzvah is only ma'akev initially, but once it gets cut, so then the hidur mitzvah is not going to be ma'akev. As opposed to, by tashmishe kedusha, it's not just mishum hidur, it's part of the etzem tashmishe kedusha. And therefore, when it gets cut, it's pachas mikashir. So says Gemara, oh, but this whole conversation tells that there is some sort of shear for how long your ritzuos have to be. The kamash yurai, what is the shear of ritzuos? Amar Rami Bar Chama, Amar Reish Lakish. So the Gemara is very unclear about what it's talking about now, and you have the Rishonim are all over the map on this. Are we talking about the ritzuos of the Shal Rosh, the ritzuos of the Shal Yad? Which part of the ritzuos are we exactly identifying? But here are the words. ad etzpa tzreda, up until your pointer, your etzpa finger. Rav Kana machvi kafuv, and Rav Ashi machvi pashut. And they each demonstrated what ad etzpa means in a different way. Rav Kana showed the length of the ritzua, the difference between the space between the etzpa and the ama, between the second finger and the third finger on your hand. And Rav Ashi showed it pashut, meaning the way Rashi understands it, the space between your thumb and your etzpa. That's the size of the ritzua. So, but where is that the size of the ritzua? Excess after you wrapped around your arms, excess after the kesher on your shel rosh. So Tosus happens to point out, Tosus thinks this is all about the shel yad, and Tosus writes about 10 lines before the end of Tosus, Dibra Maskel, the Kamashi Urayu, Ubitfilin shel rosh, Misharin Arutsua Shetagia, Rosha Echara Tiburo, Verosha Shenia Dalev. By Tfilin shel rosh, one of the Ritzuas has to go down to the belly button, and the other one until the heart. And Tosus says, there's no Gemara that says this. Yeah, Veshemeshum Medrash Yesh. There must be some Medrash like that, because everyone knows that that's what you have to be makvid about. Unbelievable, no? That's not a Gemara anywhere. Must be. He doesn't know if there's a Medrash. Must be that there's some Medrash that says like that. Okay, Rabba Katiluhu Pashat Veshadiluhu. Rabba would tie his tefillin and then just leave the excess straps behind his back. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov katalu umatlis lehu. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov would tie his tefillin on his head, would fasten his tefillin to his head, and then he would fold up the straps. He would make like Rashi says, the Ritzus HaTfilin say golden mishalshlan. He would like braid the straps. He would like tie them together. Marbrei Ravina, Avi Kedidan. Marbrei Ravina did what we do, that we have the straps going in front of us, not behind us, and we don't braid them in any way. They're just going in front of us. Amar Rav Yehuda Braider of Shmuel Bar Shilas, Meshmei Derav. Kesher Shel Tefillin Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Another Halacha L'Moshe Misinai of Tefillin is the Kesher Shel Tefillin. Amar, meaning that it's got to be in the shape of a Dalit. There are two deos about how to do that. Do we do a square or do we do a Dalit? I mean, square, the svara for the square is that it's two Dalits. It's a Dalit like that and a Dalit like that. That fills in the square, but that's different minhagim. I think that was one of the only places where Soloveitchik told people that they should change their family minhag. They did one way. I think he said if they do the square, they should change to a regular dalit. That he thought the regular dalit was the correct way. So I'm Rav Nachman v'Nayeyan Levar, that the beauty of the tefillin should be to the outside, meaning that the letter should be visible to the outside. I've seen many times, by the way, a father and a son have different kesher shel tefillin. So one with the square, one with the dalit, just because people don't pay attention to this. They don't even know what they it's behind their heads. They don't even know what they have back there. So I've seen several times where that happens. And really, we should follow our family minhagim on things like this. But sometimes that's what happens. Ravashi Aviyasev Kamed Marzutra is Havchale Ritzua de Tfilin. Ravashi was sitting in front of Marzutra, and the Ritzua of his Tfilin got inverted. Armele Losov Lamar V'Nayein Levar. Don't you hold that the beauty of the Tfilin has to be facing the outside? He says, yeah, I hold that way. I didn't realize. The Pasuk says that all the Amayarts are going to see that the Shem Hashem is called on us, and they'll have fear. Elu Tfilin Shabarosh. That's a reference to Tfilin Shabarosh, that they're going to see our Tfilin Shabarosh, and they'll be fearful of us. They say B'Shem Legra. It doesn't say Tfilin Sha'ala Rosh, but Tfilin Shabirosh, that a person has to internalize the message of the Tfilin. Not enough to just have them on your head. Because we know from the Gemara Brachos that Kadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. It says in his tefillin, Mikamchi Yisrael Goyachad Baaretz, just like it says in our tefillin, Shema Yisrael Shem Elkeinu Hashem Echad. Amar Rav Yehuda, Kesher Shel Tefillin Tzarek Sheyeh Lemala, Kedei Sheyeh Yisrael Lemala V'lo Lemata. The Kesher of the tefillin should not be on your neck. It has to be higher up on your head. A lot of people make this mistake also. It should be the top of the kesher should be on the bone, and the bottom of the kesher in the hole beneath the bone, and not lamata, because it's a symbol of the Jewish people being lamata. It also should be directly in the back of your head, not on the side of your head, to show that the Jewish people are always in the front and not in the back. We're not lagging off on the sides. Okay, Beis Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Bidri.